Talk with Pat Caputo and the radio voice of the Detroit Tigers, Dan Dickerson.
This one is gone!
On Tigers Radio, 97.1, The Ticket.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Ticket text 97136. What's up, Double D? How you doing,
Pat?
Al Avila, the Tigers general manager, is going to be joining us tonight at 7:45. So looking forward to hearing what Al has to say about the Tigers offseason, which I think in a certain sense may just beginning. I don't think they completed all the moves they're going
to
make.
No, and I keep thinking back to what he said, because I thought it was a good question at his press conference after the season. In terms of, you can argue that injuries were a big part of why this team fell short of expectations, didn't make the postseason, didn't get to 90 wins, and that if everybody returns to health, you've got a pretty good core and you could get there next year. And he said sometimes that can be dangerous thinking. And that stuck with me. That, in other words, you can't always assume that those guys who weren't healthy this year are all going to be healthy next year and that you won't have other injuries. And so it seemed to me that whatever they were going to do this offseason, that they would have to, or that he would make some more moves than what we've seen. And really all we've seen so far is Cameron Maben traded for a minor prospect, really.
Yeah, and
that's why I keep thinking there's that one more move out there. I have no idea what it would be, but it just still seems like he doesn't have to make, but will make, based on what he said in October.
Well, there's a great list of free agent center fielders available if this were 2012. You know, they're out there. Austin Jackson, he'd be coming off with Peter Borges,
right,
leading the American League in triples with 11 in 2011. Gregor Blanco, who was a world championship center fielder in 2012 for the Giants. Desmond Jennings, who was a up-and-coming
Desmond
prospect.
Jennings, you'd be thrilled to have him if this was 2012.
Over 800 OPS. And, you know, you also have Michael Bourne out there, who's been a good player for a long time. And even back in 2012, he was a good player for a long time. Got a big contract from the Indians eventually. But unfortunately for the Tigers, it's kind of a who's who, who's not right now in Major League Baseball. And there's question marks with all of
those
guys.
You think the Tigers will make a move?
Absolutely.
In center field. And it's probably going to be from the list that you wrote about the other day. Bourne, Borges, Jackson, Jennings. The list for me doesn't go much beyond
Blanco.
That. John Jay, like I said, the list doesn't go much beyond that.
He had a horrible year.
John Jay got signed by the Cubs, I saw. He was actually on a few people's list. Revere's been signed. All right, what's the biggest factor to you? I mean, you outlined it. I mean, to me, the number one factor at Comerica Park center field is defense.
Right.
Well, I mean, none of these guys are good offensive players at this point in their careers.
No.
I still think Austin Jackson could get back to a level above where he was last year with Chicago.
Right.
But, again, probably at best going to be an average hitter. Can you get an above-average center fielder from that group?
Well, Austin Jackson hasn't played at a – I don't know. Look, the metrics, you can define it in a number of different ways. He's got fan graphs. You got baseball reference. You got baseball perspectives. You can go all kinds of different things, but I get kind of a rule of thumb with it. I don't know. And every team has their own analytics department that goes through things. But clarify that. But I have a simple rule. If you look at a 2.0, FanGraphs lifts that as a quote-unquote solid starter. Austin Jackson hasn't been that since 2013, the last full season he had with the Tigers. And defensively, his metrics have gone down. And I think the eyeball test, when he played with the Tigers, you could see where he had – for whatever reason, some players slow down at an earlier point.
Center field is a position for the young.
Yeah.
You look at the best ones, generally all under the age of 28. Lorenzo Cain, really an exception when he was an old man at 29.
Jim Edmonds, and there were a few.
No, I'm just talking about right now.
Right now, yeah.
It is a position for the young.
Right.
And if you're 30, that's not necessarily old, but for center field, in many cases, it is. All right, so who do you like? You're Al Avila. Al Avila. Who do you go sign?
Borges, you want a left-handed hitter. Bourne's the only one that's a left-handed hitter on that list.
He just seemed to pull a hamstring every other day with Cleveland. He actually has the best defensive numbers the last 2 years.
Borges is the best, you know, to me. But to me, Peter Borges has always been an enigma. He's only 29 years old. Bourne's 34 years old.
Right.
And a couple of these guys are actually in their prime. Desmond Jennings, who the Rays released, and nobody's shown any interest since they released him. To me, he's the best one because his speed is exceptional. It's still exceptional. All these different things, but he's always been an enigma to me because he's never really covered that much ground nor been that good a baseball base runner, even though he's one of, and I'm not exaggerating, one of the very fastest players I've ever seen, especially home to first. I've never seen a right-handed hitter who can move like that.
Little tapper in front of the mound, he could beat it out. Truly, we saw that in L.A.
The only player I'd say was comparable was like way back in the day, Otis Nixon. I'm not kidding you with his speed. And I don't know why it never translates into actual production from the speed game. So,
Peter Borges, I was looking at his defensive numbers. I like looking at Baseball Info Solutions plus-minus system. It's a good system. They put a lot of work into it. Nothing's perfect, but I like their system. It seems to match up with what we watch every year. First 3 years in the league. Remember, Peter Borges used to be a late-inning defensive replacement and would push Mike Trout to left field.
Right.
That's how highly the Angels thought of him as a defensive center fielder. He was plus 34. Runs saved first 3 years in the league.
And he had 1 year of WAR that was really high, too.
Last 4 years, plus three total.
Right.
So I think you get a solid center fielder. I think he still has wheels. You look at how he runs the bases. He's above average going first to third. The Tigers could use that.
Right.
That's
absolutely
why I agree with you. I think if you're Al Avila, you're really going to make it a priority to hire or to find a stopgap measure until somebody else is ready. I would think, top the list. I would think Austin Jackson would be right there, too. But I just think Borges, in terms of defense, for me, is a priority. In this ballpark, that's the priority. I would think Peter Borges, and I'd like to hear what the scouts think, because the numbers would say they're all pretty equal right now. But Borges, I still think, has the edge over the others.
Well, I would think from a scouting standpoint, because of that speed, and he still has retained most of that speed that he showed when he first came up, you know, would have an edge that way. And somebody will sign him. And maybe he's why he's not unsigned, because he knows he has that value. Again, you and I, we have two disagreements because we've talked about this. One, you think Jacoby Jones is actually a viable option for them. My term for that is preposterous. I don't believe that's true. And then the other thing is when it comes down to balance of the team. You know, my big thing is the Tigers need to get more left-handed hitting, balance their team out defensively, offensively, and all these different things. To me, it's a big deal that they have all these right-handed hitters. To you, it's not. So we disagree on that.
They have a very low, if you look at, you know, the Bill James handbook breaks down which teams have the platoon advantage the most. The Cleveland Indians are right up there every year because Terry Francona's got that mix and match. The Tigers have more of a set lineup.
Right.
And they have right near the bottom every year in terms of platoon advantage. But their right-handers hit righties better than almost every other team. J.D. Martinez hits righties. Miguel Cabrera hits righties. It's not a big right-left gap for their right-handed batters. That's why I don't think it's necessarily that big a deal. And in center field, I don't really care about offense. I want a guy who can go get the ball in the gaps.
Yeah, and that's been a problem. I think we both agree on that with what went on in center and right field.
That's why Cameron Maben isn't here, don't you think?
Yes, more than any other factor. Yes, I do believe that. And that wasn't just the metrics. I think that was the eyeball test as well.
Right.
I often think about their year last year. And I know it's one play, and I'm not trying to just put it on one play. But if he catches that ball against Kansas City, which was a very makeable play, and there's maybe five, six, seven balls that may have fallen in right field. You know, one I can remember Martinez running for and missing on the line. Those plays are made. The Tigers' course of their season might have been different.
Why don't you like Jacoby Jones? Why do you think it's preposterous?
Because I think Jacoby Jones is an older prospect who's played all infield.
But he's learning a new position.
Yeah, I think he's
good. And Lloyd McClendon thought he was really good in center field.
You know, I just don't see some guy going out there, you know, playing all infield and then all of a sudden going out to outfield. The other thing, too, as a hitter, he's very, very average statistics in the minor leagues. And he had 1 year where he hit 26 home runs at
A-ball.
That's
why I think he'll start the year at AAA.
2 or 3 years older than other guys or whatever it is. I'd have to look up the number. So I just don't think I think he's a 4A marginal prospect at best. Yes.
All right.
I don't think he's a top prospect in any way, shape, or form. I think Tyler Collins is a 4A player.
I agree with you there.
And their other option in center field, who would it be? There's a third option that they have of guys.
See, I don't think Anthony Gose is that
option.
I just don't think it. But and this is why it's going to be interesting to talk to Al Avila about it. The Tigers clearly are keeping him around for a reason. I can't figure out what that reason is.
You know, there's a deportment issue.
I mean, he did not play good center field in either of the years he was with the Tigers. He graded out below average. And, of course, he had the problem that were well-documented last year with Lloyd McClendon.
Hit.
And he can't hit.
Other than that, he's pretty good.
248. So I don't even consider him an option.
What do you think as Tiger fans?
He's left-handed, though, Pat.
We want to ask you about this. 2485. Yeah, he is. 248-539-9797. What do you think is the best option for the Tigers in center field? And also, you know, when you look at the situation, you think, hey, you know what? Maybe they should have kept Maven. Because Dan and I kind of agree with what Al Avila did. And Al's going to join us today, 7:45. You're listening to Tiger Talk. 97-1 the ticket.
The 2-1. Swinging a fly ball right field. It's deep. Going back is Eibner, and that ball is gone. A home run! How about it? Tyler Collins, number one, ties the game at 2 in the 7th.
248-539-9797. That was Dan Dickerson calling that Tyler Collins home run. He's a center field candidate. But
Tyler Collins actually put up some good numbers to begin with. Remember when he first got the recall? He had the bad start, the recall in Kansas City, if I remember right, and then really faded down the stretch. And I think you're right. He's an extra outfielder. Not a 4, or do you think he's more of a 4A guy?
No, I think he's a 4A guy. Okay. You know, but sometimes guys like that prove wrong. You know, the thing I like about Tyler Collins, he had an incident with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And he owned up to it.
He absolutely did.
You know, and learned from it. And that incident may have come from more of a, rather than a sinister place, a desirous place. I don't know how to describe that, but I think you know what I'm talking about. So maybe he's got a chance, you know. His teammates like him. You know, in particular, it seemed like Nick Castellanos really stood up for him. Somebody who knew him.
You see, I think he's a good kid. That I really do.
That doesn't happen if it's somebody that...
That you don't care about. You can just be silent.
About. Yeah, they pretty much, they don't say anything bad, but they don't say anything good.
So, you'll be in that platoon with Jacoby Jones, Pat.
You know, so, yeah, wish no ill will. None of these guys, but you're making an assessment on it. Yeah, I think he's a 4A player, truthfully. You know, center field options, I don't like their present options. We'll talk to Al Avila. He'll join us, the Tigers general manager at 7:45. To find out what Al thinks, because that counts a lot more than anybody else, because he's the guy who makes that decision. And, you know, we're talking about the Tigers and different things. Talk about who do you think the best option is. You got Peter Borges, you got Austin Jackson, you've got Michael Bourne. They're all pretty famous names. Desmond Jennings, Gregor Blanco, Dan Quince's every time I bring up Gregor Blanco. Those are the guys. And,
you know, maybe I'm dismissing Gregor Blanco a little too lightly.
Why? Why? Did you look at what
he
did last year?
You keep bringing him up. I'm thinking, what am I missing here with Gregor Blanco?
Well, he had an awful year last year.
Maybe he's really good, and I forgot.
No, it was like off the charts.
All right, but previous 3 years, he was solid, 260, 260, 291 year. A little bit of extra base power, can steal a base. But to me, again, it's all about defense and minus 13 runs saved the last 2 years.
And he's not a clutch guy. You know, I mean, in the postseason, they won these championships despite him, not because of him. He's been terrible in the postseason. So you kind of wonder, you know, what that's all about. Although everybody on the Giants had a field day against the Tigers in 2012. So I think he hit 250 against them, which was like his career best or something. Anyway, 248-539-9797 is the phone number. Also, you know, if you look at the Tigers right now, I wanted to ask fans this. Get in on the conversation because we want to talk to you. I know a lot of you look forward to listening to this show. What do you think the Tigers' chances are realistically of winning the division? Because last year, they were actually contenders except for one factor. They couldn't beat the Indians head-to-head. That was the factor that absolutely destroyed them. Other than that, and they had some problems with the Royals as well, who aren't going to be that good, the Tigers were, you know, pretty much even.
They were 82 and 61.
Yeah.
Outside of the Indians.
That's exactly it. And I know the Indians added in Encarnacion from Toronto, big free agent signing for them. And, you know, they might have Brantley back, which is a huge factor.
Yeah, you can't assume he'll be back because that was
very serious.
Very serious.
But you never know.
But if he is back, that's a huge boost.
They got a chance. And their starters got hurt late last year starting pitching, which was outstanding. But the Tigers, pretty good club, and, you know, if Jordan Zimmermann comes back to form, which there's a strong possibility of that.
Yes.
Daniel Norris, I thought there were some real signs with Daniel Norris that he's going to be pretty good. Last year it was spotty, you know, he's starting to come on.
Strong finish.
Right, and you have Michael Fulmer, who's outstanding, and Justin Verlander is outstanding. The one thing the Tigers have is this you know, the makings of an outstanding starting rotation. That makes them contenders.
There was a reason that Ian Kinsler and Miguel Cabrera that last weekend when they were eliminated on Sunday had very positive things to say overall about the future of the franchise, not even knowing what might happen this winter because of, I think, those three guys in the rotation and led by Justin Verlander. But it's not too often you get Boyd, Norris, former three young pitchers, and I think Boyd can be solid at the back end of a rotation. I really do.
You know, he's shown competitive character.
I think Norris
sure.
can be really good, and we know what Fulmer can do. It's rare that you have three impact young pitchers in the rotation. You're going to have probably more ups and downs, but what was their final record? I think the last few months they were combined 37 and 20, those three pitchers down the stretch, the last few months, or over the course of the year.
That's, you know, that's pretty good. I thought with Boyd there was a one start where he didn't get any outs after he had done well, and I thought that that was disappointing. But other than that, he can fight. He pitched at a high level in college, and he's definitely shown that he's got the makings of a chance for to be a back of the rotation guy, if not the top of the rotation. And also the other thing on the bullpen, I think Joe Jimenez, and I've talked about this a lot, is a very, very promising prospect who has dominated in the minor leagues. And I think he's been vastly underrated by the Tigers themselves. Which, you know, Al knows because he's heard me talk about it so much after the games, and he and I have discussed it. Al Avila, the general manager, and also just by Baseball America, they make him in their top 10 prospects. As somebody who did that list for at least a dozen years, I did the list, so I understand how it's done. I'm stunned by that.
That he's off the top 10.
I thought maybe the guy just didn't do his due diligence.
I've seen him in the top 40. Among all the prospects in baseball. So,
he's an outstanding prospect. Yeah. Outstanding.
It's electric stuff when he's on.
Absolutely.
And they didn't bring him up for a reason in September. They wanted more command of the fastball and sharpen up the sliders, my understanding.
And I didn't agree with them at all on that, by the way. Especially,
you think he's got a better than even chance of making the team out of spring training?
If he doesn't, I don't know. You know, to me, he should.
Or put it this way, he's a strong candidate to make it out of spring training. I think everybody agrees on that.
Look at what Osuna did at a young age for the Toronto. K-Rod came up when he was 21. Look what Trevor Rosenthal was about this age when he emerged with the Cardinals. He's at the age and stage and has the arm strength, and he's got bend on his slider. That's what nobody talks about. He's also deceptive. He moves his leg back, and the ball comes out of the chute late. You don't pick him up early. People don't get good swings on him. And he has a chance to be a dominant closer. So I don't know what the Tigers saw in there. I didn't agree with. I saw some quotes from Dave Littlefield, who I respect. I mean, he's been a major league general manager. He's done some stuff. Didn't agree with. Don't agree with what Al said about it. Who's compared him to Rondon. I think he's a better prospect than Rondon ever was, well, despite Rondon's 103.
What you just said is important because I haven't watched him enough. You have. You go down to MILB.
I watch every one of his outings that was on it.
That's on this. But that's the thing. That if he hides the ball well, plus the upper 90s, Rondon does not. Everybody gets a good look at that 100-mile-an-hour fastball for Rondon. And then, remember, it was not as lively toward the end of the year for Bruce Rondon. I'm still very skeptical. You have to say he made a lot of improvements, Bruce Rondon. Cut his walks, bumped his strikeouts, but I'm still leery of leaning on him in the late innings to protect a lead.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. He's Dan Dickerson. I'm Pat Caputo. Al Avila will join us at 745. Till then, we'd love to hear from you. It's Tiger Talk at 97.1 The Ticket.
Sports news all day, every day. This is 97.1 The Ticket.
The Broncos have hired Vance Joseph to be the new head coach as he spent the last year as the Dolphins' defensive coordinator. Bills turned a longtime Panthers defensive coordinator Sean McDermott to fill their head coaching vacancy. Tigers have invited 22 non-roster players to spring training with the big league team this year. 10 pitchers, 3 catchers, 5 infielders, 4 outfielders. Amongst the names, minor league closing sensation Joe Jimenez and outfielder Mike Gerber. Both the Spartans and the Wolverines in men's basketball action tonight. Spartans hosting number 24 Minnesota. Wolverines are on the road, tipping off against Illinois over on WWJ News Radio 950. You can hear it at 9 o'clock. Red Wings are the night off. They retake the ice tomorrow night in Dallas against the Stars. Pregame, Ken Cal, Paul Woods. You can hear it all on the ticket at 8:10. Let's take an update. I'm Tim Jetsky. More at 8 or at 97.1theticket.com.
The Valenti and Foster. Afternoons.
My name is Terrence Reginald Foster III. I'm going to take this to different levels. I'm back. Come follow me, boys.
Mike Valenti and Terry Foster. Afternoons. 97.1. The Ticket. Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio. 97.1. The Ticket.
Here's the 1-2. Swinging a drive in the air to right field. That ball is hit well. It's got a chance. It's gone.
How about that?
Collins, a pinch hit homer to make it 4-3.
Well, we had Dan do a Tyler Collins home run. Now we got Mario and Pemba doing it. Well, Jim seemed to really enjoy himself there in the background.
I think our engineer Tim Jetsky is sending us a little message.
He thinks Tyler Collins.
He thinks Tyler's a guy.
I'm all about Collins and 17.
There you go. 248-539-9797, who should be the Tigers' center fielder. We've been talking about that, and do you expect the Tigers to contend this year? Al Avila, the Tigers' general manager, will join us at 745 here on Tiger Talk. Pat Caputo, along with the radio play-by-play voice of the Tigers, Dan Dickerson. And Doran, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, what's up?
Oh, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Mr. Dickerson, you stick with the Tigers, you'll be in the Hall of Fame. Well, I really enjoy your broadcast.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Top shelf. But getting back to the Tigers, our left fielder needs to get his head in the game. Victor, we don't know about him and our young manager, but when you have Verlander and Kinsler on that team, Fulmer, I don't think that Fulmer would be the pitcher he was if he didn't have Justin Verlander on that staff. I have faith in these guys. I really do. And the Wilson kids, they're just a couple of pieces away, just day in, day out, grinding it out and staying focused. I think that they're 50-50 to win the division. They can play against anybody barring injury. Castellanos went out, and our right fielder, Martinez, great young ball player. It's about center field, I agree. Do I understand that Avila's back at catcher? So that's solid. The team doesn't have to make any big moves as long as they stay healthy. And that left fielder, I think that is a key. Him and Victor. Those two bats get active in the lineup at clutch times, and we need a clutch hitter for power. And I think the Tigers are as good as anybody. I really do.
I think the one thing that Al, as the winter went on, probably was looking at is that the rest of the Central really got, other than Cleveland, got weaker.
I agree.
I'm coming from
creative loyalty, constructive loyalty. I'm not criticizing. I really think that they're okay. I'm glad to see no big moves and no big shakeups, and the young arms. You see these kids pitch. They know what they're doing. They just need more confidence and more experience. And I don't see any reason why the Tigers can't contend, truly.
Well, you know, I agree with it. I think, though, to me, their big thing isn't necessarily – I look at the Tigers like this, and this is how I describe it. If I described it last week on this show or you've heard this before, I apologize, but it's how I really feel. It's like you get a jigsaw puzzle in a box, and you open it up, and you take the stack of the pieces. And for the Tigers, that stack is really, really high. You got great resumes like Victor Martinez and guys who are either borderline or Hall of Fame players, big-name players, big payroll, all these different things, and it stacks up really high. And then when you take the pieces and try to fit the puzzle together, it doesn't fit quite right. Because it's unbalanced. And I think the problem with the way they are right now, they could end up in a similar spot. They may have a great rotation, but they're still struggling. The bullpen, 25th in MLB last year. Right-handed bats all over the place, not left-handed bats. Defensive flaws in certain positions where other spots are strong. So I think Al's goal, and he knows this, is to try to balance it out yet, but you don't want – everybody wants Iglesias. Everybody wants Justin Wilson. They don't want Pelfrey and Lowe, you know. They don't want Upton's contract, you know, that type of thing.
Well, you know what? And of course, you men know much more than I do, but the simple fact is, doesn't that fairly fall on the shoulders of our young manager? And he's going to get better. I really – you know, this is, you know, something that I really – I believe in, whether I'm right or wrong, we'll see. But you get a feel for these kids and where they feel comfortable and staying comfortable and confident in getting their minds in the game and staying focused. When those young guys get on that mound in any certain situation, they are capable of handling their emotions and handling the defense.
Well, you
and
know,
they're all on the same page, and I can't stress that enough.
Well, to me, I appreciate the phone call, Dan. It's like I don't think Brad can, you know, put his hand on Mike Pelfrey's forehead like a faith healer and say, "You shall be worth what the value of your contract is." It doesn't quite work that way. I know Brad is.
I think how he handled the young pitchers really was impressive.
I thought Brad did a pretty good job last year. Now, just having said that, my gosh, there's people going, "Oh, they're about ready to drive off the road." As you know, we do the shows after the game. I'm on after a lot of those games and defending Brad in certain situations because I think people kind of blame him for everything. So, and sometimes it's really not his fault. I think the team is unbalanced. I think I would criticize ownership for this because they have a lot of contracts that are not good values in today's age when everything's about value of contract and all the different analytics and everything, except for one thing. The only reason they're in this spot is that Mike Ilitch is not somebody who wants to win. He has to win. And he's doing everything he can to win. And he's had a general manager who feels that way. And I've known Al Vila for a long time. And I've gone back and forth with fans on this after the games and before the games or whatever about Alex Avila, who's now back with the team. And I said, "Well, the only reason he's on the team is," I said, "look, you don't know his dad. You know, his dad's an ultra-competitive human being who's been in the game for a long time and is going to do nothing to disrespect right. the game." But Al's the disrespect the game thing, Al's not going to do something stupid. Because he's very pragmatic. He's not going to cut off his nose despite his face. So you've got them in kind of this mode here. He knows what he wants to do, but he's not going to do it for the sake of just doing it if it doesn't make sense.
Right. And remember, $24 million comes off the payroll. Close to $30 million comes off the payroll with Lowe, Pelfrey, Sanchez after this coming season.
And look at the free agent classes moving forward.
Now you're starting to get maneuverability.
And look at the free agent classes moving forward. And then say you have some players in your system. They've got some lower-level prospects who do have an upside. Bo Burrows comes to mind. A few guys. You know, Christian Stewart is a fairly advanced prospect. Say he goes to, you know, Toledo does some things. He's got power. He's a left-handed hitter. And you got Derek Hill, who actually made a lot of progress for a high school kid, you know, in his second, third year last year in West Michigan. So say he emerges as center field. You start to see some things. And then you get some more maneuverability, and Jimenez comes up and does well,
right.
You know, and maybe they got something, you know. But Al's not a knee jerk reaction type.
That's why, right? He's not.
He's not.
And what you said, Mr. Ilitch knows that, you know, the signing of Justin Upton probably took away a lot of his maneuverability, all of it, really. And that's why I don't think there was a specific number that he had to get down to this year. I think he does appreciate that Al's goal is trim payroll, get more athletic, get more affordable in the years to come, and he probably outlined a plan for how to do that.
Upton's interesting because he's in his prime still. He's still a pretty good athlete. He's not a clubhouse chemistry issue problem at all, the opposite of that.
He's a great guy.
Knows how to play the game. He also had a terrible year for like 4 months.
Four and a half months.
Inexplicable.
I was looking at it today. Mid-August is when they finally sat him down, and the finish was monstrous. And now it's a matter of, okay, can we get a little more consistency over the course of the year?
Well,
you like him in the number two spot? Everybody wants to know who's in the number two spot.
I would put J.D. Martinez there.
Mike Upton there a little better, higher career on base. He'll draw a few more walks, can steal a base. And then that allows you to have Miggy, Victor, J.D., Castellanos, and that's a pretty good top six.
Makes sense from what you're saying. The only reason I say that J.D. Martinez hits the ball behind the runner a mm-hmm. lot. He does that a lot. But anyway, coming up next, Al Avila, 97-1 The Ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio, 97-1 The Ticket.
Here's the 2-1. Swinging a fly ball, left field, down the line, deep, going over Cabrera at the fence. He leaps up off the top of the fence, maybe off his glove, and into the bullpen, home run, Alex Avila.
Number two on the season. Tigers lead it 2-1 in the second.
That's Double D, Dan Dickerson, with the call. Would love to hear from you. 248-539-9797 is usually the phone number we want you to call. But right now we're joined by Tigers general manager, Al Avila, whose son hit that home run. What's up, Al?
Hey, Pat. I'm doing fine, other than this rain that I had to run away from. But I'm indoors now.
Al, how are you? It's Dan Dickerson.
Doing good.
Good.
Hey, Dan. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. We're not far away from heading down to Florida.
That's right. That's right. We're just a few. I've already been there a couple of times. I plan to go back probably at least one more time before spring training actually starts. As you know, we're doing a big-time remodeling of the stadium.
How's it look?
It's fantastic. There's going to be so many party areas all over the place. you're not going to recognize it. The building that they're building for us, I think, is 72,000 square feet.
Wow.
We're going to house our major league spring training offices, our minor league offices for year-round, our major league clubhouse for spring training, minor league clubhouse for spring training, plus our minor league clubhouse for the Florida State League. It's going to have state-of-the-art workout facilities, training and doctor facilities. It's going to be state-of-the-art, second to none. So far, they got 40 days to finish it. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But at least the grass is green. I can tell you that.
There you go. There you go. The starting point. Al, I go back to, as we look at this offseason, I go back to your press conference kind of that wraps up the season and looks ahead a little bit. And two things struck me out of that press conference. You were asked if you had to get down to a certain number with payroll. You said no, but I've told Mr. Illich this is what I want to do, younger, leaner, more athletic, and less expensive in the years ahead. But you also said status quo isn't always the answer when you've had injuries that maybe prevented you from getting to where you wanted to be because you can't always rely on those guys to be healthy the next year. So given those two things, as you look at what's unfolded this offseason, and it's been a quiet offseason, kind of tell us what you've – have you been surprised, or has it kind of played out like you thought?
I was not surprised. I was actually hoping that it would play out a little bit differently, but I was not surprised that this winter went by and we really didn't make any moves, because really even the Maven thing was a non-move. But the whole thing is, you know, if you remember my press conference with the media at the end of the year, you know, I also said to them, nothing might happen this winter.
Right.
Because I knew there was a chance, okay, that this could happen in that, you know, the new collective bargaining agreement, the tougher rules that now for clubs to go over, the luxury tax, not to mention the debt service rule, which is even as important.
Right, one that doesn't get talked about much.
Yeah, exactly. Because that one's more complicated. You know, that one's more complicated, and actually, the rules on that one are even tougher, where they could take away draft picks and money and stuff like that. So these are things that this winter started to develop. And there's, if you see right now, there's still a lot of good hitters out there. There are free agents. There's still pitchers out there. Now the pitchers are probably not as premium as they have been in past winters, but there's a lot of good players out there that are free agents that still have not signed. So most of the time, a club will rather sign a free agent player than have to trade a good prospect or prospects to acquire that talent for their team. So this year, some of that happened, obviously. And, you know, the teams that really were big winners, in my opinion, were the Chicago White Sox and the Boston Red Sox. Boston got, Chris Sale, and he had, you know, a tremendous pitcher where he's still young. He's really, I mean, the cost of him is very, it's one of the best values in Major League Baseball right now. And Chicago got a tremendous booty back from, that they can count on for years to come. So it really worked out for both teams. But that's the perfect storm. You know, you have a young player that's controllable at a good cost, and they did the same thing with Adam Eaton. And those players in today's market have a lot of value. Young players at low cost that you have under control for several years, they are at a premium. That's what teams are covering. And so, the Boston Red Sox, obviously, they were loaded, and they still have players.
On that same vein, you know, you guys go out and you got some players that didn't perform for you, might be older, have bigger contracts. And you got a couple players that fall under that category under control through 2018-19. And all of a sudden, you know, you may be getting calls on Jose Iglesias and Justin Wilson and not on the players that may be available when it comes down to it. Has it been difficult for you with the landscape of your contracts to make deals? And the other thing, too, is center field. You've got a list of I put five in this column I wrote the other day. Bourne, Austin Jackson, Peter Borges, Gregor Blanco. Who's the other one?
Desmond Jennings.
It's going to be a great list if it were 2012, but it's 2016. What are you going to do about center field? The Maben situation, he's not there anymore. What are you going to do about that? You know, aren't you going to have a plan B instead of just Jacoby Jones and Collins and such?
Well, right now, I mean, there is no clear-cut answer for center field. I would say it's a work in progress because just the names that you just pointed out right there, which obviously there are on our list, I've got a long list of all the minor league and major league free agent players that are still available. And if you look at what you're going to get in production, you know, you have to evaluate that compared to what you already have in-house. In-house, obviously, between, you know, you got Collins, you got Ghost Press, we got Alex Presley, and Jacoby Jones. I would say that a guy like Jacoby Jones is going to be a really good defensive player. He's very athletic. He can run. He's got a very good arm. The question is, will he hit enough? And not so much will he hit enough, but will he hit enough to stay above water where you don't drown the guy? And that's a question that could be answered in spring training. And maybe we don't have to answer that in spring training because maybe something else happens between now and the end of spring training. So that's still a work in progress. We've kept Ghost along this whole time because we feel Anthony Ghost is a very good center fielder. He can play good defense. We've actually got a couple of teams that have had interest in him because of the same reason, because they feel that he's a good outfielder. So we wanted to keep him around and have him in the mix too. Unless something happens, of course, you know, down the road. Collins is, you know, did a pretty good job for us out there in center field. He's not a true center fielder, but if he had to play out there for a stretch of time, he certainly can, as Alex Presley also can. So if you look back last year and how many different guys played center field, you know, Maben was supposed to start in center field. He started the season on the injury list. Ghost was supposed to be out there. He went down to the minor leagues. And all of a sudden, you had Andrew Romine playing center field. You had Collins playing center field. We even asked Upton to play center field on occasion. So it was kind of a revolving door for some part of the season. This year, may or may not be the same. I don't know yet because, like I said, it's still a work in progress. The names that you just pointed out, I would say that we have some degree of interest, but at this point, it's not to the degree that we're going to jump right in and do something with that. So that's where it stands right now in center field. In saying that, we feel very good about the other positions. You know, you really don't know the value of a player until you pick up the phone and you start calling up other clubs and seeing what, you know, how they value your players as far as when it comes down to the total package of contract, cost, age, and everything of that nature. So, and going into this year, yeah, we probably have a couple of guys. But, you know, when you talk about Iglesias, in reality you have Iglesias for this year, you have him for next year, and then he becomes a free agent. So he does not, you don't have a long-term control over him. And he will start to cost a lot more money starting next year. He costs a little bit of money this year, but next year he'll be more expensive. And then all of a sudden he's a free agent. Justin Wilson, not too much different. And, you know, obviously he's a guy that he's a left-handed guy in the bullpen. And while there was some interest in him, we also felt that, okay, based on his performance last year, he probably, you know, could have been better, more consistent. So we have to evaluate, is it better to keep him and see what he can do for us out of the bullpen in 2017? And if everything works out great and he does a good job, well, we're going to need him because you're always looking for that left-handed reliever. And if things don't go well for whatever reason and he does well, then at the trading deadline, obviously he'll have, you know, the value will still be there, if not higher. So you can play it either way. And you have to just figure out what has more value for you in that left-handed reliever or in a possible move. So these are things that you're evaluating all the time as you talk with different clubs. So it's not just that, you know, we're staying pat. It's more of evaluating and making decisions basically on a regular basis as you talk to other clubs.
Al, enjoy the conversation. We'll talk to you more coming up here from Tiger Fest.
Just over a week.
We do our special edition of Tiger Talk from there. Appreciate you joining us tonight, and stay dry in this wet weather.
I will. And just remember one thing, Pat, about our club. We got a real good starting rotation in Verlander, Zimmerman, Fulmer, and some of those other young guys. And we have a pretty good bullpen. And our corner outfielders and our corner infielders are all capable of hitting 30-plus home runs. We got one of the best second basemen in the league, and we got a pretty good combination behind the plate between McCann and Alex.
Yeah.
And we feel pretty good about the club as we stand today. So hopefully we have a good a season where we stay away from injury and everything that turns out to be a little bit more in a positive manner as compared to last year's injuries.
Yeah, just the one thing, Al, you got to take my unsolicited advice I gave you every night and get Joe Jimenez in the major league.
and this might be the year.
Listen to Pat.
Joe Jimenez. Oh, my. But anyway, look forward to seeing you soon, Al.
Thanks a lot,
man.
Thank you. I appreciate it, fellas.
Take care. That's Al Avila.
Good sound advice for any baseball fan. Listen to Pat.
Yeah, that's right. Unsolicited advice every night for him on Joey Jimenez. But anyway, enjoyed it, Dan. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Coming up next, Inside Hockey Town, Ken Cal will join me from Dallas, 97.1 The Ticket.